civil.
Well, Johan, I hate to cut you off, but we have our guests. We're going to have to go. What we have to say here is always what I say. South Africa's present is our future. Unfortunately, it looks like the future is now. Kom asseblief vier, meneer. Tot ziens. Ekiti teki baie groenie.
And if you want to call us back after our guest, Johan, you're quite welcome. And glad for that you took the time out to call all the way from the United Kingdom, whom I have as much hope for as I have for the United States, because political correctness is rearing its ugly head around the globe. You talk about globalization, it's only globalization for political correctness. And good night, yes. Jan. We'll talk to you in a little while.
Thank you very much.
Bye. Bye-bye. Storm. Good scenes. Storm, I'm going to let you go just for a couple of minutes because we have our guest.
And our guest now is talk radio legend Barry Farber. And he's here on The Right Perspective with us. Welcome to The Right Perspective, Barry.
Hey, Barry.
Hey, I feel like a war criminal interrupting this conversation. I'll tell you why. We hear news from all parts of the planet except South Africa. Mm-hmm. You are the only news source from South Africa. And you can take a bow, but I'm sure you're not going to be happy, even though you have the right to be proud. Why is our media not telling us what's going on in South Africa?
Well, for the simple reason, because they sold us a bill of goods about South Africa back in the 1980s. They lied about the Boer folk. You know, Barry, we've done something on this program that no one else in the world has done. We've covered the Boer-Cuban War in Angola, when a nation of 4.5 million stood up to the might of the Bolshevik experiment in the Soviet entity, took on 50,000 Cuban imperialist lackeys and running dogs of the Moscow warmongers, when they even took on Russian troops in Angola and beat their tails bloody. And no one knows about that war. That country made a sacrifice to stop the Cubans in Angola at the behest of the United States of America. And to my shame, and I always apologize to my Boer friends, that we stabbed that nation in the back. You know, Barry, we would have just waited 10 years. They could have solved their problem themselves. And as I said many times, there was a Jewish stake in South Africa, because what's happened to them is going to happen to Israel. In fact, it's happening now. You see it. But people don't, the media does not want to admit what's going on over there, because if they do, they'll have to admit that they were wrong and they lied to the American people and took us for a ride and put a bunch of communists in power. Do you realize in 1989, Barry, communism fell, and in 1994, we turned over a prosperous, thriving, modern nation to communists. What was more insane than that?
Well, the tragedy is that Americans don't know that. All they know is that Nelson Mandela was a hero freedom fighter, and South Africa is no longer an apartheid, Nazi-type state, and everything is fine. That's all we know in America as I sit here right now. That's all we know from our media.
You know why? In fact, you know, that was, you know, you brought up, they said it was a Nazi-like state. You look at that movie with Mel Gibson and Danny Glover, where they play the two cops. Well, what's the name of that movie again, where they play the two cops in L.A.?
Oh, yeah.
What's that? Where he's suicidal.
Yeah, there was three or four versions.
And in that movie, who's the villain? The villain is the South African consulate, the South African diplomat. Meanwhile, half of the world, was occupied by the communists. But a little nation of 4.5 million people was the greatest threat to humanity. Apartheid was the greatest threat to humanity when half of the world chafed under the yoke and shackle of communist genocide. That's the kind of lies and left-wing propaganda that they spewed out about that country. That was nonsense. In 1975, 3 million Cambodians were being exterminated, but they were marching nobly against apartheid. No, yeah. It's a lie. It's a fraud. It's a sham.
Yeah.
People
and
don't even, let me finish this. People don't even know how much the Boers had given to the blacks over there. They didn't hate them. They never hated them. And why was South Africa, why were the Boers pro-German? Because the British exterminated 33,000 Boer women and children in the world's first concentration camps. So they were pro-German, just like the great General Mannerheim. Doesn't mean they were Nazis. They were siding with the people who were fighting against their enemy. And the look, Barry, the American people know about us. The only history that the American people know is what Britney Spears did last week.
Right. Help me out here. Help me out. I know that in Namibia, in Windhoek, there is a street named Hermann Göringstrasse,
right,
which is named not after Hitler's notorious Luftwaffe chief, but rather after his father, who was the German colonial general of Southwest Africa when it was under German command before World War One. That's the South Africa that I'm pointing to right now. From that South Africa up to now, we know almost nothing, and I'm very curious to know how you managed to bridge the gap between Nelson Mandela and the reality of today. Do Americans get the truth about what you know better than any other medium in the world?
No, they don't, because, first of all, you know, we're in contact with quite a few people over there. We interviewed General Magnus Malan, who led the Boer army against the Cubans in Angola. We interviewed Mayor Helen Zila of Kapstadt, which we call Cape Town. We've been in touch with many of these people, and, you know, once we made our original contact, we were able to, because these people have no one to talk to them. You know, look, this fellow Johan we just spoke to is a Boer expatriate living in the United Kingdom. We've spoken to Boers that are living in Australia and New Zealand we're in contact with. They've been driven out of their country. It's a tragedy,
Straighten me out, Frank. Straighten me out, because I need education here. During World War II, I remember Jan Christian Smuts was the leader of South Africa. Now, they were on Britain's side, not Germany's side, right?
Yeah, but you see, Jan Smuts was considered a traitor by the Boers.
In other words, the Boers thought he should be pro-Nazi.
Well, no, they just thought he shouldn't be. He gave in to the British. He fought against the British in the Boer War, but then he became pro-British. He became a tool of the British. I mean, it was a British it was a colony. That was two countries. That was Transvaal, Republic of Transvaal, and the Orange Free State. And their land was literally stolen from them by the British when gold and diamonds were discovered over there. They came in, they murdered them, they put their women and children in concentration camps, they burned their farms down, they starved them. I mean, they couldn't beat their army in the field. The mighty British Empire couldn't beat a bunch of ragtag commando farmers who went out and defeated them. And so, of course, they were pro-German, just as the Irish were pro-German. Though they were neutral, they were still pro-German because of the British genocide that happened in Ireland with the Great Famine. So, of course, they were. But Jan Smuts was basically, he was a tool or a toady of the British. He was not, by the bitter enders, he's not called the great hero of the Boer people. But they fought on the side of the British, just as there were Irish from America whose family were persecuted by the British, fought for the United States against the Germans in World War II.
All right. Well, you can console yourself that the big joke in Havana,
yes,
you've talked about the 50,000 communist Cuban troops fighting on that continent.
Mm-hmm.
You can console yourself that while they were doing that, the big joke in Havana was as follows. One Cuban would ask another, what's the largest country in the world? And the answer was Cuba. The territories in the Caribbean, the governments in Moscow,
right.
The armies in Africa, and the populations in Miami, Tampa, and Jersey City.
But, Barry, if you want to find out, you go to our website, therightperspective.com. I know you go to the website. Look up the link for Hello Africa, and you'll find the interviews that we've done. They've been archived, and you'll hear firsthand what's going straight from the horse's mouth. I mean, this is not some newsman reporting for 30 seconds on the news. These are from the Boer folk who are living over there. These are the people who are enduring the horrible, horrible crime that's going on over there, the mismanagement of government that's going on. It's sad. When you think how that nation was stabbed in the back by the West and how you took those people who had a unique culture, a unique language, a unique history, who never did anything to anybody. They never hijacked any United States airliner, never killed or kidnapped any American citizen like the Mohammedanite terrorists. They never did anything to us. All they said was, like the Israelis, just let us be by ourselves. We'll work our problems out. They were there for 350 years. They're more African than Jesse Jackson or this foreign occupier who's going to take power in the White House. They are true Africans. They're a white tribe, and they built a magnificent nation out of nothing. And yet these people were vilified. You got to listen to our interviews. You'll find out what's really, really going on over there.
Well, tell me, where did you learn how to speak Afrikaans?
Because my Boer friend, we have a friend of ours who's a listener in Canada. He sent me an Afrikaans tape, and speaking with the Boers that I got to know. They teach me a little Afrikaans here and there.
I don't want to turn this into a musical.
No.
But before I leave, you mind if I sing my favorite song in the world, which
yes.
happens to be a Boer song?
Yes.
It's an Afrikaans song. Are you allowed to sing on this broadcast?
Be our guest, Barry. You can do anything.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Mijn sari mare is zo ver van mijn hart, maar ik hoop haar weer te zien. Ze woont in de week bij de voet weer gewoon, na voor dit oorlog het begin. Oh, breng mij terug naar de Oost-Transvaal, daar waar mijn sari woont, tam, 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 tam. Daaronder in de milies bij de groene Doringbam, ja, daar woont mijn sari mare. Daaronder in de milies bij de groene Doringbam. Ja, daar woont mijn sari mare. South African Boers have the best folk music in the world.
Oh, yeah. We have a whole album. I have albums of folk music. For example, The Lady Roberts, it was a gun that was captured. It was a big cannon that was captured during the Boer War by General Benfil Yoon, and they went behind the British lines, stole this cannon from the British, and turned it on them. We have a whole... Barry, their history is so fascinating, and they were just demonized in the media. That's why the media is so demonized, Barry, dangerous, because they can demonize anybody. They can demonize any group of people. And people see what they think is real on TV, and that's it, and they believe it.
Barry, you know, I only have one thing to say after that performance of yours.
Yes.
You won that round. Okay, let's go on. Yeah. You won that one.
Barry, you got to tell our, you got to tell our listeners when you're on the radio so they can tune into talk radio legend Barry Farber.
All right.
People have to know that.
I don't know how this squares with Greenwich Mean Time, but we're on the air from 8 to 10, Monday through Friday, on CRN Digital Talk Radio, and I'll give the website twice that wherever you are in the world tells you how to get connected. It's www.crntalk.com. Once more slowly, www.crntalk.com. And
right.
Thank you very much. I'm so proud of both of you. I knew you, you know, tell your listeners, I knew you when.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Frank. Hey, Frank.
Barry,
you remember this?
You know, you are like a dog I'm very fond of, but who keeps getting loose and biting mailmen.
I can hardly hear that. Just tell me about it.
This is what, you know, when I would make some controversial remarks when I called you up, this is what you would tell me.
You know, you are like a dog I'm very fond of, but who keeps getting loose and biting mailmen.
So,
John, I remember having some problems with you and with Frank.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can't agree on 100% of everything, but I admire you and I admire what you're doing. And the only thing is, I wonder if you ever really got in touch with Ethelyn to talk to her about her experience at the Bell Laboratory.
Yes.
I don't know, but this is what you told her one time.
Darling, you got too much sand in your gizzard. Clean it out and call me.
You know, Ethelyn was so excited about the election of Barack Hussein Obama that she went out election night and she cleaned 50 floors.
How do you remember that? I never forget. I had John on the show one night, and Ethelyn was telling me about her experience at the Bell Labs,
yeah.
And John exploded. And said, I don't care about your experience at the Bell Labs.
Well, you know, Barry, we have all of those calls on audio tape, and I'm in the process now of making separate files to them for them and cleaning them up in my program, digitally enhancing all those calls. We've got 126 volumes.
Right.
Of the best of John and Frank, all the phone calls that we made over the years to talk radio.
I want to be the first customer of that album because I was on the radio as a talk host in New York while you all were calling people like me and making those calls.
Yeah, well, we're going to put them on DVD. They'll all fit on, I think, one DVD. And you can have all 126 volumes, and I have them all listed. What their calls are all about for each volume. So that's
you know, Barry, when the type of talk radio that you do and that John and I remember from all the times that we called you, it's a much, in our opinion, it's a much more civilized, it's a much more relaxing, and it's a much more intellectually stimulating type of program. And today, there are people in talk radio that are syndicated that all they have to do is read either the Democrat or Republican talking points. The calls last 10, 30 seconds. It's nothing that really feeds a person's intellect.
Well, hey, Barry, as a matter of fact, speaking to that, I want you to listen to this for about a minute. This is what you used to get. This is what you get on talk radio today. Compared to what you hear on The Right Perspective. I mean, we talk to people for 5-6 minutes, and this is what you get today on radio, okay?
Gotta run.
I'm out of time right now.
All right, you've only got about 40 seconds.
Hey, John, you got about 40 seconds.
John, you got about 10 seconds.
Very quickly, a minute.
You've only got about a minute.
Mark in Pennsylvania, less than 30 seconds. Mark, go. Gotta take a quick break.
I gotta let you go, because I'm gonna get some other calls.
Thank you, our time's up.
John, 30 seconds, quick.
I just have to tell you, we've only got about a half a minute.
Okay, I got 30 seconds, so get right to it.
Frank, you don't have all that much time. John, you really don't have nearly as much time as you wish you did. Hurry up, I got to take a break.
Let me answer your question. There's short time.
Hurry up.
John, I don't have enough time.
All right, John, we don't have much time. You better hurry up.
Okay, I don't have a lot of time.
You got 5 seconds.
That's what you get in talk radio today.
Powerful.
And that's why we get, that's why we got our own show and built our own studio. So.
Yes, got our own
studio. That is powerful, and I'm so proud of you, what you've done.
Well, thanks
you
a lot,
didn't
Barry.
You like what was going on, and you built an alternative universe, and I'm very proud of
thank
you.
Thank
well,
you.
Well, you know, you encouraged us.
I wanted to share a little bit of it.
You got us in.
And we want to have you down one night.
Yeah.
We'll pick you up by car and bring you down and home.
And we'll,
you
we'll
don't have to do that.
We'll have a gefilte fish ready for you.
I'd be very proud to make my way down. But tell me,
yes.
What is, before I let you go, if I'm not taking too much of your time.
No, take all your time you want.
What is your attitude now towards the next 4 years in American politics?
Very depressed.
Very depressed.
Very depressed, very scared.
Yeah.
We've got, first of all, the Democrat Party, Barry, is the new Nazi Party. This is not the Democrats of Adlai Stevenson III, Hubert Humphrey, John F. Kennedy,
Scoop Jackson.
This is the new American Communist Party, and you've got the perfect storm of insane Marxist, communist, and socialist coming together, with the guy at the top actually being a communist. Isn't it amazing, Barry, we spent 50 years defeating communism, and the dumbed-down American people, because the left got control of the school system, have turned all of our kids into morons, and they really don't even know how the economy works or how our system works. They don't know anything about the Constitution of the United States. We now bring communism back with our first president, the first communist. Well, actually, Bill Clinton, as far as I'm concerned, was a communist as well, and so was Jimmy Carter, especially when you hear him today. But this guy is a full-blown Bolshevik, and where we are in deep trouble. And especially, it's amazing how, you know, everybody's asking, what do the Republicans have to do to get back into power? What do they have to do to get back into office and turn things around? Well, what they have to do is start blaming the party that got us in this problem in the first place. Not once did you hear on the campaign trail that the Democrats caused this whole economic meltdown. You saw all those audios and the videos of the Democrats defending Fannie and Freddie Mae. While George Bush and John McCain were two of the people who warned against it, and it was all Republicans saying, we've got a problem here, and yet George Bush, just because he's in the White House, took all the blame for this. The Republicans allowed themselves to take the blame for Katrina. That whole state has been controlled by Democrats for 40 years. They had a Democrat governor, a Democrat big-time senator. Ray Nagin is the Democrat mayor there, you know, Mr. Chocolate City. They used all the funds that were supposed to go to rebuilding the barriers down there. They use them for social programs. And then they blame it on the President of the United States just because we have a Republican in the White House and the Republicans say and do nothing. They need an instant response team, and they need someone with their ear to the ground. For instance, Barry, I'll give you one example. I don't mean to hold you up.
I'm interested.
You know how the whole campaign was based on George Bush's tax one of the things they kept bringing up. George Bush's tax cuts were for the wealthy only, which there would be nothing wrong with. Well, a report came out this week that the income for Americans making anywhere from $15,000 up to $100,000 increased in droves from $15,000 to $30,000. I think it went up something like 8%. From $30,000 to $50,000, it went up some like 10%. From $50,000 to $75,000, it went up another 10 or 15%. And from $75,000 up to $100,000 in income, it increased by something like 18%. These are all middle-class paid. You know, it's the quintile, the middle-class quintile. And yet, that proves that the tax cuts from George Bush were not just for wealthy people. They benefited everyone. And yet the Republicans have not said a damn thing about this. I heard about it one time, and that was it. The Republicans need someone to get out there and call news conferences to refute the lies when the truth comes out and expose the Democrats for the liars they are. They're so incompetent and so politically tone deaf, it makes you commode-hugging sick.
Well, I love that term, and I hope you will tell your listeners what memo you wrote by email to to Neil Cavuto of the Fox Channel, which I thought was on your side and on our side.
Yeah, yeah, it's amazing that he fell into that trap, trying to put some of the blame for this fiasco on the Republicans. And I was really surprised because normally he's sticking up for Republicans. But he's, you know, I got a feeling that they're trying to protect themselves.
They are.
Because Obama's coming after Fox News.
Yes.
So now Bill O'Reilly,
yeah,
who was that fraud, and now Neil Cavuto's joined the crowd. Oh, see, he criticizes Republicans, too. He's good enough to stay on the air. They're all looking to save their careers,
yes,
instead of telling the truth. This was not a Republican problem. This was strictly Democrats. And what was the other problem that's caused us problems over the last 6 months, Barry? The high price of gas and fuel. Well, the Democrats have caused all of this. They're the ones who won't allow us.
You don't have to be.
Barry, can you hold on for about 2 seconds?
Yeah.
Well, at least a minute anyway. We'll get right back to you, and then we'll let you go.
I just need your body, baby. I'm just too gone. You don't need experience to turn me out. You just leave it all up to me. I'll show you what it's all about. You don't have to be.
We're taking your phone call. So if you've got questions or comments, then be heard on the Right Perspective.
The Right Perspective.
From across the USA and the rest of North America.
Okay, let me get this straight. I buy I bonds, say, $1 million worth.
You can buy up to $30,000 a year.
Yeah, right. So I buy I bonds, and my money will always earn a rate higher than inflation?
That's right.
For 1,000 years?
For 30 years. It's guaranteed to stay ahead of inflation for 30 years.
And it's safe, backed by the U.S. Treasury?
That's correct.
World comes to an end, no problem, still safe.
I'm not even going to answer
that. So getting back to the inflation thing. Inflation goes up to, say, 10%, I'm covered?
You're covered. Your investment will continue to earn a rate over and above inflation for up to 30 years.
20%?
You're covered.
3,000%.
Oh, come on.
Hey, I'm joking. So tell me, where can I get these things and I'm out of here?
Gladly. You can purchase I-bonds where you work, bank, or through the new U.S. Savings Bonds Easy Saver Plan. To learn all about I-bonds, go to www.savingsbonds.gov.
www.savingsbonds.gov. Huh, pretty catchy, huh?
Goodbye.
But I'm not even finished.
Goodbye.
A public service announcement by the Department of Treasury and this station.
Yeah, right.
Would you take from Moses all that I have given him? Would you undo all that I have done for him? I have put the throne of Egypt within his reach. What can you give him in its place?
John from Staten Island and Frank from Queens.
Not, not. Notorious.
Notorious. All right, that's the great Duran Duran. Great song, and we have a great friend of ours on the line, the great Barry Farber.
Talk radio legend. You know, Barry, before John just finished, I want to say that, you know, because of you, I got back into stamp collecting. You used to do a commercial for H.E. Harris, and the commercial was so good that the way you did it that I started collecting again, and I haven't stopped since then.
How do you remember that?
We remember everything, Barry.
We remember everything.
You've been around talk radio. You know, we have a whole history on our tape, so, you know, we remember all this stuff.
Sure. But, you know, you got to do us a favor. When Sean Hannity loves our program. He listens to The Right Perspective all the time.
Yes.
You know, and I know Sean's a good friend of yours. When you see him, just tell him that John and Frank would love to call him, but we don't have time. The time, we're just too busy with our own program. I know Sean listens. He loves the program, but then he's always saying, why don't these guys call me? But we just don't have the time to. So when you see Sean, tell him it's not personal. We have nothing against him.
I will do that. And by the way, I really loved the fact that you two came up from the ranks. You know, not many generals began as privates in the army, but you all did. You came up as callers to talk radio, and now we're proud to be calling you.
Well, thank you, Barry.
Well, you know, you're one of the few people who don't have this big ego. You know, there's a lot of hosts out there, we should call them, you know. But you've always been a friend, and we thank you for all those years. You had us on the show, and you really helped us, and you encouraged us. You know, you gave us that bug to get involved in talk radio.
Look, I had you both. Hey, okay, look, let me take pride in this. I had you both on the air before you started this magnificent international adventure, which is helping so many people understand so many vital issues that they wouldn't be informed on in any other medium.
Yeah.
I'm real proud of you, too, and thank you very much for letting me. Yeah. I hope you'll forgive me for singing.
That's a classic.
Hey,
have your secretary type it, and I'll sign it.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah,
Good night, Barry. And Barry, may your tribe increase. And I know it has your grandpa.
I return the compliment in manifold dimensions. Good things.
Thank you very much, Barry. We'll be in touch.
Good night.
Thanks, Barry.
God bless you, Barry.
And stay healthy.
Good night. You too.
Bye bye. And that was an exclusive here on the Right Pistol. We've got a lot of good sound bites now from this, John.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's right.
And that's why we really hope you'll help.
I think it's a treasure trove.
Yeah, and that's why we hope you'll help the Right Perspective, because you know what, folks? You ain't going to hear this any other place. Nobody's going to do this. Nobody's going to call from Great Britain to any of these other talk shows. The way, you know, and this guy's a boor that called Johan from United Kingdom. He's a boor. They're boors. It's a diaspora. They're being driven out of their own country. And he called in. You never hear Barry on any
We forgot to play the stem.
Oh, all right. But that's okay.
Can't do everything.
Can't do everything.